after 8 o'clock now, and already we've probably used a lot of energy in our day with our alarm clocks on our cell phones. You might have turned on the furnace last night. That's June for you in northern Minnesota. Probably took a hot shower, you made coffee, you cooked breakfast, and then you hit the road. Your routine might be a little different than that, but we all need energy in this fast-paced lifestyle and high-speed, high-tech 21st century economy. We rely in great part still on 19th century fuels, coal, oil, natural gas. J. Drake Hamilton is a science policy director at Fresh Energy. It's a Minnesota-based nonprofit that's been working for over 20 years to shape our clean energy future. She's an expert in climate policy at the state and the national levels. 2015, she attended the World Conference on Climate Change in Paris. And this Thursday, June 29th, Earth Circle and the Itasca Clean Energy team is sponsoring a talk with J. Drake Hamilton on Minnesota's path to clean energy. Jay's back with us on the morning show. Thanks so much for being with us, Jay.
Good morning, Heidi and Michael.
Good morning.
So I wonder if we can begin kind of with the basics. What are the state's energy needs right now? What part of those are renewable energy?
You know, I think most people aren't aware of how fast Minnesota has made progress. We've been one of the leaders nationally in clean energy development, and we've grown jobs around that in communities all across Minnesota. My favorite fact is if you compare the year 2004 with the year 2016, so just a 12-year span, in 2004, Minnesota was getting about 5% of our electricity from renewable energy, and last year we got 22% from renewable energy. So we grew from 5% renewables to 22% renewables, and along the way, we grew over 15,000 clean energy jobs. So we've already started on our path. Some people are calling it a renewable energy evolution or revolution. And what it means is we're moving, especially our electric companies, are moving fast to 21st century energy that produces cleaner water and cleaner air for all of us. And it's mostly wind and especially now solar energy.
So what do you think could be better, though? How could we have more solar? How could we have more renewables?
You know, at Fresh Energy, we work on policies statewide that will help bring competition for renewable energy and low-cost, reliable renewables to communities across our great state. And in 2013, we were looking at the growth in wind power around Minnesota. And then we also felt, you know, there are states and countries that are much cloudier than Minnesota that are looking at the data, and they're seeing that the price of solar energy just in the last 7 years has come down about 85%. And they're looking at, well, how do we make sure that we make our state competitive in the future and make sure that our state is open to business on solar energy? So we wanted to do the same thing for Minnesota. And what we did was we worked with partners and we got past the Senate Solar Energy Jobs Act. And that set a goal for Minnesota that we get 10% of our state's electricity from solar energy by 2030, and that our big public utilities, including Minnesota Power and Light, will get about 1.5% of our electricity from solar by 2020. So that's a big change, and it's a welcome improvement to a lot of Minnesotans. And then the other thing that Fresh Energy did, and we were the prime architect of this, we also talked to people who were frustrated because they had nice shady rooftops, which is good in the summertime, or they live in the woods, beautiful properties, but they didn't have solar availability on their own roof, but they wanted to invest in this technology. And so we helped the state legislature craft what are called community solar gardens. And now utilities around the state are working with community members who buy subscriptions to a community solar garden that would be in your community in just a prime, wonderful parcel of land for solar energy. So not useful for anything else, has solar, maximum solar capacity, and then somebody else, sometimes it's a utility company or another private company, would take responsibility for building what's called the solar garden, for selling subscriptions to it, and then through the wonders of electronic billing, your utility company, your power company, would know how many panels you've bought and would credit you back for the amount of solar energy that you're producing for the grid on your electric bill. So in some cases, customers are actually able to save money because during those very what are called peak solar times, so typically late afternoon when people are using a lot of power in the summer and solar panels are generating a lot of power, that's really valuable to the power company, and you would get credit for that. So these are called community solar gardens, and I was invited to come up and speak in Grand Rapids on Thursday night by the Itasca Clean Energy team, because they've been working for, I think, maybe almost 2 years with Grand Rapids Public Utilities on this idea of offering that in Grand Rapids.
So typically, how many acres or is it acres, are these gardens?
You know, it would vary quite a lot, Michael. It depends on the size that the community wants to move forward with. Typically, it would be about several acres. So if you look around communities, you want to look for properties that are not valuable for other things. So we're not talking about prime agricultural land or good forest or land that's forested. Instead, you're talking about land that would be vacant, or maybe there's some other use on it now that would be compatible with also having solar panels. So we're finding, for example, in other parts of the state of Minnesota that these community solar gardens are being planted with pollinator-friendly plants, so they're helping agricultural production in those parts of the state. Sometimes they are being located near schools or libraries, places where you can also have an educational component of the solar garden.
We are talking this morning with J. Drake Hamilton from Fresh Energy. It's a Minnesota-based nonprofit that's been working for over 20 years to shape our clean energy future. If you appreciate this kind of programming, we're asking for your support today to an independent community radio station. Pledge right now, 800-662-5799. Jay, I wonder if we can talk more about prices and the economics. You talked about investment. You said that with these community solar gardens, your bills might be lower, but prices, it is still cheaper for oil, gas, and coal. How does that affect the development of the other energies, and what's your thoughts on that in general?
Well, you know, things are changing really rapidly, even faster than we at Fresh Energy thought they would, because the sheer scale of production that's happening on both wind components, wind energy components, and solar energy components, and the price tag is dropping so rapidly. So I mentioned that the price of solar panels has dropped in cost about 85% in the last 7 years. The price of wind components has dropped an additional 40% in that time period. And so what the power companies are finding is that here in Minnesota today, wind energy, new wind energy, is often cheaper than natural gas energy and is even cheaper than the cheapest coal plant. So that is something that's brand new over the last couple of years. It's projected to further decline. And so what that means is that in Minnesota, we can start taking advantage of this 21st century technology and increasingly diversify our electricity supply. So it's really, I think, very exciting to a lot of Minnesotans to think that in these troubled times around the globe, that we can move farther, faster here in Minnesota and really set the bar very high. I think what some people don't know is that solar energy jobs right now are one of the fastest growing U.S. industries. So we want to make sure that we're a part of that in Minnesota. Just between 2015 and 2016, solar jobs in the U.S. grew 25% in 1 year. So now there are over 370,000 solar jobs in the nation, an additional over 100,000 wind energy jobs. The fastest growing job last year in the U.S. economy was wind turbine service technician. And compare that to the number of coal mining jobs, which is about 70,000 and declining as that industry becomes more automated and more mechanized.
Question about the wind turbines. Are we still having a concern around birds, and is there a way to prevent that from happening?
Absolutely. So Fresh Energy is not interested in harming wildlife or birds. And so we have very strong wind energy siting provisions in Minnesota to make sure that we're directing wind development away from land where that would be a problem. And then in addition, I think people are maybe not aware of how fast technologies that are developed in, you know, for our iPhones or our smartphones or in Silicon Valley, how those technologies can also help wind turbines. So wind turbines, actually the blades been quite slowly, and so if any birds are in the area, most of them are able to see the turbine blades and avoid them. But the clear thing is you want to locate wind turbines where there aren't birds.
Okay.
And that's what's happening in Minnesota. And then maybe people aren't aware that they're also in places where maybe 2 weeks a year you might have birds coming through. You don't want to harm those birds, and so you would have in the wind contract that the wind turbines cannot be spinning in that migratory time of year. And you can also use lights and even sounds that humans can't hear to let the birds know that there's an obstacle there. So you have to be sure with renewable energy that you're thinking about how you can integrate this, keep the energy system very reliable and very affordable, but know that technology is advancing quickly to help us overcome some of those small problems. But you want to take advantage of the really big benefit of renewable energy, and that is this. Nobody is charging money for the wind or the sun. And so that there's no fuel cost. So when the sun is shining and when the wind is blowing, these are the cheapest forms of energy on the system, and they're the first things that a power company would put on the electric grid. You still need a diverse energy system, but why wouldn't you maximize the amount of free energy, free fuel energy, that you can put onto the system? And most people think that we could get about 80% of our electricity in Minnesota in the next couple of decades with a combination of wind energy, solar energy, hydropower, and energy efficiency. So these are all very clean fuels, zero carbon fuels, that we should be moving forward fast. And the more we can maximize that local energy development, so communities that want to be host to these technologies and these jobs, that's great. The wind turbines themselves have 6,000 or 7,000 parts, almost all of which could be produced in any town in Minnesota. So it's a job multiplier for Minnesota.
Jay, we're going to take a minute here. As our tradition is, when someone calls in to be a member, we celebrate them with a gong. So I did not want to scare you, Jay. That means we heard from a new member in Penn Gilly. Thanks to Judy Johnson for pledging her support. She would name our VW bus Peace. So all thank right. you, Judy. That keeps us going this morning. The number to call is 800-662-5799. Jay, since we talked to you last January, the current administration has taken a stand, especially when it comes to the Paris Climate Accord. You've been involved in all of this on a national and international level as well. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was in Paris when 195 countries were negotiating this historic agreement to move forward to protect our climate for future generations. And that agreement still stands. It's very disappointing that the U.S. doesn't want to continue a leadership role in the globe. That's not a good position for us to be in. But Governor Dayton has recommitted to ensuring that actually Minnesota is going to surpass the Paris climate goals, because we started about 10 years earlier than the rest of the world. And as I said, we moved from 5% renewable energy to 22% renewable energy with no increase in costs due to those renewables. And we've diversified our electric economy. Some people call it the clean energy economy. And so there's no reason in the world that we wouldn't keep moving forward on that path. The goals that Minnesota has that we're meeting, that every utility is meeting, are higher than the Paris Climate Agreement goals. So we want to show the rest of the country and the rest of the world that we can help meet the U.S.'s obligations to the rest of the world, which is really important. And I think what's going to be illuminating for a lot of people is the progress that places like Minnesota are showing, where, you know what, it's not new for Minnesotans to capture sunlight. We've been doing it to grow forests in the forest products industry, and we've been doing it to produce great agricultural bounty. That's using solar energy. And now when we deploy solar energy for electrons, we're just adding a new solar product, and it's a way to help diversify and grow our economy. At Fresh Energy, I know when we hire people, when we interview millennials, for example, for jobs, every single one of them wants a job that makes a difference. And not everyone will be in the clean energy economy, but it's very hard to find a young person in Minnesota or in this country who doesn't expect that Very soon, all of the products that they purchase will be produced using solar and wind power. They identify with how you started this segment, Heidi, that this is the 21st century. We wouldn't be using a telephone from 1977, so why in the world are we using power from 1977 when we have options that are much cheaper going forward?
And speaking of options, nuclear, we know that that does not pollute in a way that coal does. Is nuclear at all part of the picture?
Yeah, definitely nuclear is part of the picture. There's only one utility in Minnesota, Xcel Energy, that has nuclear power plants, but that amounts to almost 25% of our electricity in Minnesota, and it's a very important part of our base. And those nuclear plants have just been relicensed recently to run until between 2030 and the year 2034. So we have some time to figure out when those nuclear plants go offline, how do we continue to use zero carbon electricity. I don't know whether new nuclear power will be cost effective at that point in time. It is not today. And so at Fresh Energy, we always look at what is the cheapest way you can get electricity and keep the lights on, looking at all the costs of that electricity. So we have some planning time, and we need to figure out how to produce reliable electricity in 2035 and beyond, with as much zero carbon electricity as possible. So it's very interesting when you have actually now a track record. So we've already gotten to 22% renewable energy. Our biggest power company in Minnesota, half the state is powered by Xcel Energy, has said that by about the year 2021 or 2022, they're going to have 45% renewable energy, and that they're going to keep going, and they're going to get to 60% carbon reduction by 2030. And they're doing that not just in Minnesota, but in all eight states in which they operate. So that's a good marker for the rest of the state and the rest of the country. I'm very proud that Minnesota has been nation-leading, and we need to make sure that we're talking to people in communities about what they want for their community. So I'm very interested in meeting people and seeing old friends in Grand Rapids on Thursday night. I hope everyone will come. It's free and open to the public. It starts at 6:30 p.m., and actually the organizers are providing coffee and cookies starting at 6, so you can have more time to talk with your neighbors and chat with me.
That's great. And if, you know, maybe your community hasn't quite started that community solar garden yet, but you could come and get information and continue the conversation on renewable energy. It is this Thursday night, 6:30 at the Blandin Foundation. Jay, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thanks, Heidi and Michael. Great to talk to you.
You too. J. Drake Hamilton from Fresh Energy. Support Northern Community Radio. We rely on individuals like you. You are our renewable resource, right?
That's right.
We're asking for you to support an independent radio station, not part of Minnesota Public Radio. You can do that now by calling us at 800-662-5799. Get our brand new VW Bus t-shirt when you pledge your support. $15 a month or above.